Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're studying the parable of the sower. Today we're going to actually get into our Lord's explanation of this parable. The parable itself is given in verses 3 through 8. The explanation of the parable is given in verses 14 through 20. And that's where we'll be studying today. I told you last Sunday, as we neared the end of our lesson, that there's three main elements or ingredients, components, whatever you want to say, to this parable. There is the sower, and then there is the seed, and then there are the soils. And those are the three things that we're really going to look at as we go through the Lord's explanation of this parable. In verse number 14, the Lord begins by saying, "The sower soweth the word." The sower soweth the word. Now here we have the sower. And the sower obviously is the one who soweth, as he says. The sower soweth. That is the responsibility of the sower, to give out, to spread. That's what you do when you sow. And he says here, the sower soweth the word. Now, back up in verse number 3, it says, Jesus says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." Now, obviously, he's sowing seed. That's what he's sowing, because he hopes to have a crop. And Jesus explains the seed here as being the word. He says, "The sower soweth the word." Now, what word is he sowing? Is he sowing his own word? Is he sowing some other person's word? What word is the sower sowing? Well, I want you to look over at Luke chapter 8. And really, you want to put a mark in Luke chapter 8, because we're going to look there several times, or make reference there several times as we study. Because in Luke chapter 8, you have Luke's account of this same parable. And it's important, as I've said before, that we cross-reference, that we compare Scripture with Scripture. And when you look in Luke chapter 8, in verse number 11, Luke 8:11, you'll notice there it says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." The seed is the word of God. So what does a sower do? He sows. He spreads seed. According to what we're studying, what is the seed that is to be sown? The word of God. Not the sower's word, not some other person's word, but God's word. That is what the sower sows. And by the way, who is to be the sower of the seed? Is that every Christian's responsibility? Amen. That's the responsibility of every Christian, to sow the seed of God's word. That is on me, that's on you, it's on anybody that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when you get to studying the Bible, I think you find different ways in which we are to sow the seed of God's word. I would say for sure we are to sow it plentifully. When you read the book of 2 Corinthians, you find that Paul says, "Those that sow sparingly shall reap sparingly, but those that sow bountifully shall reap bountifully." Is that what he says? So when you're thinking about sowing seed, you want to sow an abundance of seed. You want to put out just as much as you possibly can, because the more you put out, the more that you sow, then the more return you're going to get on your effort. Those that sow bountifully shall reap bountifully. If you only put out a minimal amount of seed, then you're only going to reap a minimal harvest. That's just the way that thing works. The more you sow, the more you reap. And so we need to sow plentifully. I need to be sure that I get out the seed of God's word as much as I possibly can. And it's my responsibility to make that a priority in my life as a believer. I need to understand that's my responsibility, and I need to make it a priority. And I need to arrange my life so that I can be a constant sower of the word of God. So that no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, I can give out the word of God. That's why I've said to you before, it's important as men and women that we keep tracts on hand, because a tract is a great way that you can give out some of the seed of God's word. Ladies, I've told you, you ought to keep them in your purse. You need to keep them in your cars. Just think about how often you go through a drive-thru. You know how easy it is when you go through a drive-thru and you're giving that person in that window the money to pay for whatever you've just purchased or whatever you've just ordered? You know how easy it is when you hand them that money to just reach there in the console or reach in your purse or the glove box and just pull out a tract and hand it along with that and say, can I give you some good news to read? That's not real hard, is it? That's a simple thing to do. How about the times when you eat out a meal and you leave your tip on the table? You know what you can do? Just a simple thing. You can just leave a tract there with the tip. When you're checking out at Walmart, everybody goes to Walmart. You know, can't you hand the cashier a gospel tract and say, let me give you some good news to read? When you're standing there pumping gas in your vehicle and somebody pulls up beside you, can't you just take a tract and say, excuse me, ma'am, excuse me, sir, let me give you some good news to read? Hand them a gospel tract. Y'all following what I'm saying here? If it's a priority in your life, there are numerous ways that you can get out the seed. And for me as a Christian, it's on me. It's on me to understand that this is my responsibility, and I need to make it a priority. I need to so arrange my life that I constantly am giving out the seed of the Word of God. I need to sow it plentifully. It doesn't need to be something that I do every now and again. Just every once in a while. It doesn't need to be a thing that I do just after Brother Keith says something about it, and then after a month or so, I forget about it again and go back to not. It needs to be a priority in my life, something that I focus on. We have things that we make priority, don't we? I mean, you get to thinking about it. You get up in the morning, generally you have a routine that you go through, don't you? Everybody has that routine that you go through. You have things that you do each day to prepare yourself for that day and the things that you're going to do. Maybe you take a shower. Maybe you brush your teeth. I pray that you brush your teeth when you get up in the morning. You arrange stuff, don't you? Well, if we can arrange for all that, then can't we arrange it so that laying beside our wallets a little New Testament that we can stick in our pocket, or a handful of gospel tracts that we could stick in our purse? Can't we do that? Yeah, we can. It's just a matter of priority. It's a matter of focusing on this and understanding that's my responsibility. God's looking to me as one of his children to make this a priority. I am to sow the word, and I'm to sow it abundantly, plentifully. It's to be a part of each day in my life as a Christian, to somehow get out the word, to somehow do it. So we need to sow it plentifully. I think about how we ought to sow it with passion as well. I think in the Old Testament about where it talks about those going forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, the Bible says. You know what that is? Going forth weeping, bearing precious seed. That's somebody who has some passion, somebody that has a burden, somebody who is truly concerned about other people. It says, goeth forth. We meet here on Sundays and on Wednesdays, and really this is just a time for us to to try to nourish ourselves and to get some refreshment from the Word of God. But then what does God expect us to do? To go forth, right? To go out, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And there ought to be some passion in our heart. There ought to be a burden in our heart. When was the last time you actually wept over a lost soul? When was the last time that you had such a burden for a family member or a friend, a co-worker, somebody that you actually shed tears when thinking about the fact that if they died as they are now, they would go to a devil's hell? Going forth weeping, having some passion about it. And don't say that you're not passionate, because you are. Amen. You're just passionate about what matters to you. If it's something that matters to you, there's passion there. You get happy about it. You get excited about it. When somebody messes with it, you get angry about it. There's passion. When it gets broken, it hurts you, makes you sad. Y'all know what I'm saying. We're all passionate people when it comes to the things that matter. I just feel that probably lost souls don't matter to us as much as they ought to. And if they did, we would probably shed more tears than we do. We'd have more passion in our heart for these people. We ought to sow it plentifully and passionately. But it's on me. I got to make it a priority. And I need to do it as much as I can. I ought to look for opportunities. I ought to pray for opportunities. That's another thing. You ought to sow it prayerfully. How often when you start your day, and these are just things to ponder and think about. How often when you start your day do you spend some time in prayer? I hope that you spend some time in prayer as you begin your day. Hope you don't just get up and run right to your recliner and kick on the TV and watch some stinking mess on the television for an hour. I hope you begin your day with a little time in prayer. You know, just, if nothing else, just thanking God you're alive another day. But how often do you pray before you begin your day? Lord, give me some opportunities today to talk to somebody about Jesus. Lord, open some doors. Do something. Put somebody in my path. Help me to have a spiritual vision so that I see these opportunities, so I recognize when you're actually giving me an opportunity to speak to somebody and deal with somebody. Lord, increase my passion. Help me to be more burdened for people that are lost, to have a greater concern for folks that are going to hell. Y'all do know that every day thousands upon thousands of people around this world die and go to hell, don't you? Y'all know that? This isn't make-believe. This ain't fairy tale. We're not down at Disney World, okay? This reality. Reality is that every day thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people die and go to hell. People right here in Covenant County die and go to hell every day. Every day. We ought to have some kind of burden. Our prayer should be, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to have a burden for these people. Lord, open some doors. Show me some opportunities. Give me the courage and the grace to take advantage of those opportunities so that I can get out the word. I mean, we're talking about being sowers, and y'all just told me a few minutes ago that it's the responsibility of every Christian to be a sower. Amen? So how you doing? How you doing in that regard? You sowing the word like you need to? You spreading it as much as you need to? Do you have a burden for people that are lost? Are you praying constantly, Lord, help me? Give me more opportunities. Give me more passion. These are things that we need to think about. The sower soweth the word. The word is the word of God. That's the seed. So the sower, that's us, those that are saved. The seed, that's what God says, the word of God. That's what we're to be putting out. But now, you come to verse 15. And from verse 15 to the end of this parable, you have the soil. Jesus is going to talk about the soil. And the soil represents the hearts, the different kind of hearts that will be in the people who hear the word of God. Now, I told you last week, last Sunday, that one thing all of these have in common is that they all hear the word of God. So they all have opportunity to hear what God says, right? That's what you find in the parable, verse 15, when they have heard, verse 16, when they have heard, verse 18, hear the word, verse 20, hear the word. All of them hear. But only one out of the four that's mentioned here actually respond in the right way. And the reason why is because only one out of the four has the kind of heart that they need to have in order to receive the word of God the way it needs to be received. Only one out of the four. So we're talking about people's hearts, how their hearts are. And here's the thing. As I read through this, and I've read through this and studied many times, one thing that stood out to me is that when the seed is sown, it falls on all different types of soil or all different types of ground. You have those by the wayside that we read about, those on stony ground, those among the thorns, and then those on the good ground. When you're sowing that seed, it just goes out and it lands on all different types of ground, all different types of soil. Everybody, irregardless of their condition, deserves the opportunity to hear what God has to say, no matter what kind of heart they have. And really, it isn't up to me and you to pick and choose. It's not up to me to say, well, you know, I'm not so sure about that fellow there. I don't really know about his heart and how he's going to respond, how he's going to receive it and so forth. So I think I'll just bypass that fellow and I'll go over here. It's not up to me and you to pick and choose. We're responsible for sowing the seed of the word of God, just putting it out there. And there is no doubt that when you put out the seed of the word of God, that it's going to land more times than not, according to this, on the hearts of people who are not going to receive it and do with it what they're supposed to. The majority of the time. And I think maybe where we get confused is we think that if we're not seeing a whole lot of good out of our effort, then maybe we don't need to spend the time doing it. That's our mind. But folks, it's pretty clear in the Bible, if you read your Bible and pay attention, it's pretty clear that the vast majority of the people in this world are not going to respond the right way to God's word. And just because more times than not, people aren't going to receive it and do with it like they're supposed to, doesn't mean that I should lessen my efforts to spread the seed. I don't need to back up just and use what we're talking about as an excuse and say, well, most people ain't going to accept it anyway. Or I would have went door knocking today, but hey, you know, the majority of people, they ain't going to accept what I got to say anyway. That's not on you. That's not on me. God didn't tell me to pick and choose. He told me to be a sower of the seed. And what people do with that once I sow it, that's not on me. What's on me is sowing the seed. And yes, I understand standing in this pulpit that the majority of the people that I talk to about Jesus Christ or about the Bible or whatever are not going to receive what I say to them the way it needs to be received. I understand that. But I'm still supposed to do it. You're still supposed to do it. You're going to sow that seed and sometimes it's going to land on the wayside. That's just the way it is. Let me ask you this. Did the majority of the people that heard the Lord Jesus Christ teach and preach respond in the right way to what he said? Did the majority? Not on your life. But did that stop him from doing what he was supposed to do? He knew that a lot of the people weren't going to receive what he had to say. And I understand that. I know that as I sow it, many times it's going to land on the wayside. It's going to land on stony ground. It's going to land among the thorns. But here's the good news. Every now and again, thank God, it's going to land on some good ground. Now, I don't really ever know when that's going to be. You never know. You might look at a person and you might think in your mind, just by what you see on the outside, that this is somebody who's not going to receive what you have to say. But let me tell you something. It's man that looks on the outward appearance. It's God that looks on their heart. And only God knows what's been going on down in a person's heart. They may look like a big pile of nothing on the outside. Might look like the vilest, most wretched thing you ever seen. But how do you know? How do you know that God hadn't been dealing with that person's heart? How do you know that somebody hadn't already been planting some seeds in their heart and that person's under conviction and God's just now fixing to give you an opportunity to lead that person to Jesus Christ? We can't look out at people and make an assessment or a judgment just based on what we see on the outside. My responsibility is to give out the seed and let God take care of the rest. I'm to give it out. And yeah, it's going to wind up in some places that doesn't need to be, but hey, that's not on me. Verse 15 says, Jesus says, and these are they by the wayside, where the seed is sown, or where the word is sown. See that? It's sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. In their hearts. Now, go over to Luke's gospel with me. Let's look at this for just a moment. Luke chapter 8. Why does the devil come along and take this word away? They hear it. But then he comes in just immediately and he takes it away. Why does he steal the word like that? Well, here it is, Luke chapter 8, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You see that? So at least those by the wayside represent people who are lost. They don't know Jesus Christ. And they hear the word, and the devil comes along and he takes it away immediately. Why does he take that away? Because he doesn't want lost people to get saved, right? This is one reason why I said a moment ago you need to sow the seed prayerfully. When you sow that word, you need to pray that the Lord would help the devil not be able to come in and take that seed out of that person's heart so that they can get saved. Because the devil doesn't want anybody to get saved. I would point out, he says over here in Luke 8:12, lest they should believe and be saved. So how does a person get saved again? According to the Bible? They believe, right? They believe when they hear what God says. That's how you get saved. He doesn't say believe and do a whole bunch of stuff. He says believe and be saved. Salvation is by faith. It's through belief. We need to pray as we sow the seed that these lost people will be protected so that the devil can't come and pull that seed or take that seed away from them. In verse 15, back in Mark chapter 4, you could say here that the seed is stolen. The seed is stolen. The devil comes along and he steals it. These would represent what you might call a corrupt heart. A corrupt heart, because they're lost people. They represent people that don't know Jesus Christ. Then notice verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, once again they hear, immediately receive it with gladness. When they first hear it, man, it excites them. They receive it with gladness right off the bat. And then it says, verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. They endure obeying the word or doing what they've heard just for a time, not permanently. Just for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, They've heard the word. They received it gladly, and they started doing that for a time. But then some affliction and persecution arose for the word's sake, for what they're doing. They're obeying the word, trying to obey what they've heard, and people start bothering them, persecuting them, afflicting them for the word's sake. How many of you know that happens? If you don't, just try it out sometime. Just try obeying the word of God and being faithful to the Lord, and you'll find out that the sun's going to come up. The sun's going to come up. That's what this affliction and persecution represent, or what the sun represents. Look back up at verse 5. It says, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. The first group, the word is stolen. Here the word is scorched. The sun comes up on it. What does the sun represent? The sun represents that persecution and affliction that arises, just like that sun comes up. Well, you start obeying the word, and I guarantee you the sun's coming up. Some persecution and affliction is going to arise in your life for the word's sake, just for doing what's right. And some people, when that happens, what do? Verse 17, immediately they are offended. So they hear it, they take it in with gladness, and for a while they're going along doing okay. But then they start getting some persecution, some affliction, and then they stop. They stop. And everybody in here, I'm pretty sure, knows some people that fall into that category, folks that got in church and they got to doing good and seemed like their lives were changing and so forth, and then boom, gone. Now we're going to stop because we're out of time here, but next Sunday we're going to look a little more in detail at perhaps the reason why these people only endured for a time.